Here's your money briefing for Monday, January 11th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The pandemic has sparked what you might call a space race. Millions of Americans are planning to move out of large cities in search of more space and settle into a new home, even if tight personal finances prevent them from buying. That has sparked a construction boom of homes for rent.
So you have seen in the last 10 years a dramatic decrease in the number of homes, new homes that you can buy for under $200,000, while you've seen a surge of those that you can buy for, say, $400,000 or $500,000 and up. And what that's done is it's created a really big dearth of that home for people who are in between an apartment but don't have the wherewithal to buy a house.
Our reporter Ryan Dezember has been tracking the growing market for rental homes. He'll be here to talk about it after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
You have to go back to 2007, just before the last housing crash, to find as many single-family homes under construction as there are today. But most of these homes aren't for sale. Some home builders are rushing to build houses for rent. Our reporter Ryan Dezember is here to talk about the trend and how it fits into the broader housing market. Ryan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So how big a market for homes being built specifically to rent are we talking about?
Well, we don't actually know the exact number because a lot of sales fly under the radar. But for those that we can track, we know that there were about 50,000, more than 50,000 purpose-built homes, specifically built to turn into or to be rentals for the 12 months ended on September 30th, the third quarter. That's about 20,000 more than the average over the last 40 years. You might imagine it varies quite a bit from year to year. But that seems to be a severe undercount these days, given how many builders are selling homes in bulk packages, what they call wholesale, to investors, and how many investors are just going ahead and building homes for rent where they don't specify that as the end use on the building permit. So we don't really know the full number, but the minimum that we know is at a record.
And how long has the rental market been so strong?
The rental market is extremely hot, particularly for single-family homes. And that was starting already as millennials got older and were looking to move to the suburbs, but maybe had too many student loans or not enough saved for down payment. The pandemic has really accelerated all that. You know, people who are working from home are looking at, you know, wanting an extra bedroom so they can build a home office. They want a yard for the kids and the dog to play in, space from their neighbors because they're home all day. You know, maybe a proper kitchen and dining room that their apartment didn't have. So home rentals have been extremely hot. The big home rental companies like Invitation Homes and American Homes for Rent and Tricon Residential, which own, you know, tens of thousands of homes apiece, they're all reporting record occupancy lately. They are raising rents on new leases faster at a greater rate than they ever have before. And they're really having a hard time keeping up with demand for rental homes.
Okay, so the rental market is hot, but mortgage interest rates are at a record low. What's keeping people from buying?
Well, the big issue is, like you said, mortgage rates last week hit a new record low of around, I think it was 2.65. We've never really seen anything like that. That's enabling a lot of people to buy homes, of course, and encouraging them to buy. The problem for many people is they don't have the down payment. There's also a lot of other people these days that don't want to buy a house. There's a lot of people who are move around a lot for their jobs, much more than we used to as Americans. There's also, you know, there's millennials who are sort of testing out the suburbs before buying, moving out of cities, establishing families, but maybe not yet ready, you know, psychologically or financially to buy. Another big component is what people are starting to call the baby chasers. And those are generally baby boomers who are following their children around from as they move from town to town, following their jobs and their careers so that they can be near the grandchildren. And those people are really a big target market for home rental companies and developers.
How has the recent rise in home prices nationwide affected this market?
You know, the demand for homes is so strong that prices are rising faster than they have at any time since, you know, before last decade's housing crash. Now, what that's doing is, one, it's pricing out some folks who might want to buy. And others, it might be spooking them, right? We've seen this playbook before, a big run-up in prices of homes and then a crash. So again, that could be a matter of, you know, the psychology at play. Like, I don't want to buy into a bubble. I'll sit it out and rent and wait. You know, remember, because borrowing costs are so low, that's indicative of historically low interest rates across a broad swath of investing options for people. And home rentals are one place that people are finding, whether it's, you know, the doctor and dentist that have a few houses in town to rent, or a big company or a private equity fund. Rentals are something that are yielding, giving a significant return at a time when most other investments are not.
So the building of homes for the purposes of renting, where is this happening on the housing spectrum?
Geographically, they're located generally in what we call the Smile States. So basically along the West Coast, down through the Sun Belt, you know, across Texas into the Southeast and up into the Carolinas. The price point of the homes is generally what we'd consider a starter home these days. One of the problems, though, is after the financial crisis and the housing crash, banks stopped lending money to people who didn't have very high incomes. And in response, builders said, well, you know, if you're not going to give the lower middle class people a home loan, why should we buy homes for that price point? So you have seen in the last 10 years a dramatic decrease in the number of homes, new homes that you can buy for under $200,000, while you've seen a surge of those that you can buy for, say, $400,000 or $500,000 and up. And what that's done is it's created a really big dearth of that home for people who are in between an apartment, but don't have the wherewithal to buy a house. They might need the space because there aren't a lot of 3 and 4 and 5 bedroom apartments out there, but they can't necessarily buy a house, or for whatever reason, they're unwilling to. And that's the sort of market that these companies are targeting.
But for many families, owning a home is a cornerstone of their personal finances, you know, tax benefits and all. So where does that leave people on the lower end of the income scale?
On one hand, you know, there's a lot of suburban homes in good school districts and nice neighborhoods, nice suburban neighborhoods and stuff that now they can live in that sort of environment and that sort of place without having to, you know, commit their life savings to a down payment or enter a, you know, 20 or 30 year financial contract and a mortgage. The flip side is you don't build wealth by renting. And, you know, as we discussed, there's a big dearth of homes that can be bought for, say, $200,000 or less, particularly new homes. And, you know, if you don't buy a house, you don't sort of build that equity that a lot of Americans rely on for their savings. Americans generally aren't very good savers. How we generally have saved over the last few decades is by plugging away on our mortgage payments and building that equity in our homes and then selling those homes when we get older and taking that cash out to fund, you know, the rest of our lives. So, you know, people that are going to be renting, they can have the opportunity maybe to live in a nicer house than they could afford to buy, but they're not building wealth for the future. And so, you know, people are going to have to be mindful of that.
You know, renting instead of buying also seems like a big shift in how people are thinking about home ownership.
One of the housing analysts that I talked to of a story made a really interesting point. You know, imagine if you went to a car lot and you wanted to lease a car and all they had to offer was old, sort of beat up used cars. Most of us would lease only a new car. So, you know, in some regards, housing is sort of following the way of the car. You know, even before that, you know, there used to be a stigma on leasing a car versus owning a car. That's probably not the case anymore. And that same stigma in housing is also, we've seen in the last like decade or so, really sort of evaporate. And this is just a continuation of that.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Ryan Dezember. Ryan, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.